Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
I'm Stuart, and I've made it back in one piece. And for my heroic attempts in getting the antifreeze, I am now Chief Tumble Dryer Lint Remover. Three times removed cadet. So, any lint... Well, it's a drink made out of pineapple. Anyway, any lint in the machines will be taken care of this week, honestly.
Good.
Lint, you're on notice.
And I'm Vader Van Odin, and I've been relieved of my duties as temporary captain, which I am grateful for. The stress was getting to me, and now I need a break.
I've defeated all of the wizards. I came back with mini wizards robes and wizard hats so that we can do our cosplay.
Nice.
Anyway, you're listening to Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a interstellar gaming podcast. This is episode 6, Return of the Captains. I was gonna make a Return of the Jedi joke, and I turned it into podcast specific at the last possible second, and now I'm calling it out to make it even more awkward.
That's why you're in
command. It's been a week since I've recorded last, but Stuart, it's been 2 weeks since you've recorded last. So we've got video games to talk about. We've got
the illusions
to talk about. We've got tricks to talk about. No tricks. Tricks are something a whore does for money or cocaine.
Magician, maybe? This is going dark places I never expected.
What you kind of shit business, Brian?
Abracadabra.
This is the Ghost of Kojima. We have class around here.
Yeah, that neon light in the halls for something.
What we have is a bunch of wizard robes.
Space Corona, that's what we have.
And Naga hides. No, we didn't get Space Corona. I kept my mask on.
Yeah, I stuck them in quarantine for 2 weeks.
The wizards.
40 gallons of antifreeze. We're going to make ourselves some wine.
Yeah, we've got some disinfectant. We're going to inject it into ourselves.
Yes.
if we get the Space Corona.
Yes, because remember, woman, man, TV, camera.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
That's the sleeper cell message. When we recite that, our sleeper cells become active.
When I heard that message, that's how I knew it was time to get back to the ship. There were important there were important things afoot when I heard person, woman, man, camera, TV.
It's like the Division. It's like your watch flashes. Instead of that, you just hear that sequence of words, and it's like, I have to. You're having dinner with your family. I need to go. Random guys at gas stations just weaving their cars, walking into fields.
I don't know if y'all ever listened to like the Rooster Teeth podcast back in the day, but there was that ongoing bit where Gus would talk about how his kill phrase was orange monkey banana, and that was like all I could think of when our fucking dipshit president was out there just going person, woman, man, camera,
president.
TV. Well, when I say "are," I mean Americans.
Yeah,
dipshit president.
We're an international crew here. Some of us are lucky enough not to win. Well, I don't know. Charles is winning this race.
Charles is the only one that's like got it good here.
Yeah.
With his fingernails.
And
what was it? You guys went to high school together or something, Charles? You and your PM or whatever her title is.
Nah, didn't go to high school, but she was a friend of a friend, so I have met her
right.
Back in the day.
So bear in mind, there's only 8 people in New Zealand. He's painted our garden fence a few times, you know. It's just...
Hey, we've got hobbits. Come on down.
Come on. You're openly inviting people to New Zealand? Whoa!
Well, you can't get
Change
here.
Change times.
You could try and swim here, but I don't think that's going to work.
I've played The Last of Us. I know what you can do in wee boats. You know what I mean?
And for those Americans out there, New Zealand isn't a state of Australia. And we're not in Europe.
Is that like a thing that people
it's
think?
It's a suburb. Oh, it's a suburb of Melbourne.
It's a suburb.
Yeah, people do. Like, it's, you get people, like, I don't play many online games with random people anymore, but back in the day, that if you had voice chat, they'd be like, that assume I was from England. I'd like Americans going off at me, oh, go back to England. And I'm like, I'm not in England, I'm in New Zealand. And then New Zealand, where's New Zealand? At Europe. And they just never know where it is.
Right. And then they tell you to put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah. Then there's the Aussie jokes. They think it's the same stuff as Aussie. And...
Right. That was the thing with putting another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yep.
Casual racism. Yep. We're only...
Xenophobia more than racism, I'd say, there.
It's stereotypicalism. We're all equal in space.
I don't think Charles feels discriminated against due to his race of white.
due to his love of crustaceans on an open flame grill.
Yeah, I don't like shrimps.
What about prawns?
Japanese king, like the big ones are better, like the really giant Japanese king prawns, tiger prawns or something, I think they're called.
The ones where you get to like rip their heads off before you eat them.
The ones where the heads are gone and a bit deep fried and crumbs.
Yeah,
so they look nothing like the animal that they once were.
Yeah, I think I had them when I was in Japan in a school exchange. It was for school lunch, and usually I didn't
look at this guy flying out. How would you go? I went to a local wildlife park. Where did he go? I went to Japan. Fuck's sake. Yeah. Can the grass get any greener? Any more greener, and you're going to end up with a nice nuclear glow?
Anyway, I liked the prawns. I had them because it was just served to us at school. And they weren't
bad.
Hold
on. What did I get served at school? I got square sausage and gravy. What did you get? I got tempura prawns in Japan. Jesus Christ, man. You know what I mean?
It was good. Christ. But what I liked most about it is, I don't know, like, I was a big fan of Sailor Moon as a kid. And, like, there was a few episodes where when she wasn't Sailor Moon, when she was just, like, I can't remember her actual name. Her human non-superhero character.
Usagi?
Yeah, no, I just know her Sailor Moon. But yeah, she would, like, occasionally she would fight people with her lunch. I don't know if you remember those episodes. Yeah. Where she'd, like, I remember, like, an episode where she's holding, like two or three of those in her hands and, like, using them as, like, kunai. Like, throws them at people.
Usagi Kusukino.
There you go.
Nailed it.
No Google.
I was right. I got it on the first try.
Well done. I wonder if she had a... Did she have a Western or English name in the English version?
Serena Tsukino or Tsukino in some foreign adaptations.
Yeah, there you go. That's
Karen.
No, don't tar her with that brush.
poor. Imagine you were called Karen, but you'd be raging.
Yeah. I do think about that because we have a family friend called Karen, and I do think about it, but I really think...
I had a friend called Karen. Depot has been used to full effect. She's now called Sharon.
You should change your name. Yeah, I do think I do think that would have an effect on you, but you must be able to step back and know that it's not a direct attack. It's the same as like when, like, I don't know.
It's
a
generic
name.
It's like Bill Smith. You know what I mean? Like Smith was the kind of, if you're like Jimmy Smith, it was like the generic second name for everybody. You know what I mean? Because or Brown or Mr. Brown. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, oh, well, that's a generic name. You know what I mean? Because there's hundreds of Browns in the world and Smiths. Yeah.
Well, it's the same as like I believe like Chad gets used a lot for like. To like
Chad,
mock like America. A type of guy, whereas I don't think
Chad Kroger. My name's Chad Kroger.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Drive a pickup.
Oh, are you talking about like lead singer of Nickelback, Chad Kroger?
But like it gets used as like a dude name, like oh, that's a Chad, kind of like preppy, kind of jock, kind of character. Whereas I don't think Chads are offended that gets used that way.
I don't think Chads have many brain cells. Whoa! Shots fired!
Got their asses.
We apologise for the Chads offended by Stuart's comments.
Don't worry, it'll take exactly 3 months for that joke to hit.
It's a time.
It sure
I don't
is,
know
man.
Where we start, how we started this one, but I like where we went with it. I was going to try and steer it back into Ryan, but I don't even remember where the point of no return was.
Have we ever had a point, Stuart?
No, we don't. Yeah.
Maybe we need a quest in one of these episodes to find like a navigation
to find
unit.
The point of the podcast.
Find a navigation
unit. We need to search Karen and Chad. They know the answers.
We've got to go on Spaceballs 3, the quest for Spaceballs 2. Stuart, how are things going in the UK vis-a-vis COVID-19?
Swimmingly. I'm still working from home. I ventured out today and had a flat battery in my car. England made a big thing about having to wear masks now in shops because arseholes. And yeah, just we're still surviving. Corona's still a thing. There are now micro outbreaks happening across the country, which is, I don't quite know what the difference between an actual outbreak and a micro outbreak is. But
it just sounds better.
The amount of people affected.
We had a call centre that apparently 17 people got it because they were all sharing the same dessert spoon. One of the sports teams, one of the shitty sports teams, apparently you need to submit a corona test before you play sports ball, and apparently they came back with 7 positives, but apparently 6 of them were positive negatives, so apparently the testing system's busted. And I like how they hang on the fact that 6 of them were positive negative, but the 7th was obviously positive. But we don't talk about that. We just talk about the positive and negative ones. It's like, you do realise one of the guys does actually have it. Surprise! But it's a
roulette now because we don't know which one.
Yeah, that's true. It's evolving and changing. I don't know. I wear my comical masks wherever I go. That's the joy of wearing a division mask. The irony is wasted on thousands. A few people do see it and they go, that's the division logo. And I'm like, would I be in a pandemic without my division mask? And I also have, in hindsight, having the Rainbow Six swap beating down the door mask was maybe a bit, but I ordered it before all of that carry on. Be honest, I ordered it before the carry on. So I didn't know. And then I kind of went and I kind of, yeah, I'm wearing SWAT team knocking down some guy's door. That's weird. So, yeah, not been brave enough to wear my Punisher skull mask yet because, yeah.
The Reaper.
You know what I mean? I did see somebody, but somebody I know got a electronic mask.
Oh, like the guy from Watch Dogs 2?
Yeah, but it's basically a face mask. So you know how the guy in Watch Dogs 2 is the whole mask, it's an actual mask. This is just an actual, to look at it, it's a traditional mask, face mask, but they've got it programmed to say things, and I was looking at the website, they put up the site, and I was like, oh, I quite fancy that. Yeah, it's $95, but you can program it to play Mario, and they just programmed theirs to say wear your mask, but it was like old school baseball. It was old school baseball arena style, so it was like wear explosion mask, and I'm like, god damn, that's a cool mask. You could program it to say anything. Do you know what I mean? But my new favorite game, don't tell anybody, is going into a supermarket and going shopping, but then saying profanity and just standing there like, you can't see me when I say these things. And it's like, it's so cool because no one can see what you're saying behind the mask. anything to lighten your day up, you know what I mean? Anything. Counting the non-mask wearers is good as well. Just saying things like, you spread your disease wherever you go without your mask. Shocking.
So I've got a funny story about the supermarket, which I probably haven't shared on this podcast.
You have on others?
No, just I haven't shared it with anyone except my wife. During lockdown, we're supposed to send one person to the supermarket, but we were shopping for multiple people, like my mum, her shop, so me and my wife went so we could do two loads of shop. And then I think we're also helping out a friend who was in quarantine because they came back at the start of lockdown from a trip overseas. And so we needed to take two people. And so, but we had to stay separate because that was the rules, even though we were in the same bubble. We had to stay away from each other in the supermarket. It was real dumb, like we couldn't go in together.
And that, so the supermarket employees didn't know that you were both shopping together.
Well, I don't think they... It was just weird, like... Yeah.
It was a stealth mission.
Yeah, it was. But we went in and we was crossing over and, like, so we'd obviously cross each other's paths throughout the aisles as we were picking up the different groceries. And so I thought I'd be cheeky and, like drop a pickup line to my wife as I was going past her. And she's just, like callous wife. She's just, like... She just, like, did, like, a quick, like a rejection. Oh, no, I'm all good. But it was like a guy just down.
Excuse me. This fella is trying to send abuse at me. Could somebody please remove him from the shop, please?
She didn't go that far.
I have no idea. I've had that done to me a few times. But my girlfriend just loses the rag with me in the middle of, like, shops. And she's like, excuse me, this man's touching me. I don't know who he is. Oh, my God.
You can't do that in this day and age. You'll be tackled.
I know. Well, that's why she does it. And then she's pure bursts out laughing. She's like, and I'm like, you know what? I will get jail for this one day.
No questions
because
asked.
I drove here, you're not getting to go home because it'll take me away. The bad man will come and take me away.
And I'm taking the keys with me. But yeah, the funny thing was, is there was like another customer like just down the aisle, and I think he heard. I was like, man, this is awkward, eh?
Just sitting staring going, something not right about that.
But yeah, she rejected me. My own wife rejected me.
Terrible.
That's what quarantine does.
But at least I had a mask on and my identity was protected.
I also wore a set of ski goggles for extra identity distortion.
Yeah. Anyway, I hijacked your how you're doing. Whose turn is it, Brian? How are you doing?
Well, I have no major changes. Well, actually, I do have a major change. Indiana, the state that I live in, is mandating masks in all public spaces starting Monday, thankfully.
Hooray!
So we're getting there, maybe, slowly but surely. But more importantly, I saw a very, very funny tweet that I want to talk about. It is a screenshot from the British Columbia... of Canada, obviously, the Center for Disease Control in British Columbia. They have a section about COVID-19 on their website, and they have a section about COVID-19 and sex on their website. So, you know, of course, like it makes
that's
sense.
That's a bit of a deep dive, though.
It is. It I understand why they have this page, right? Like, of course, like, you want to be open about, like, hey, like, we get it. Like, people have sex. Like, there are practices that you can adopt to be safer when there's a pandemic on. But very, very funnily, one of the things that they recommend to protect yourself during sex, use barriers like walls, example given, glory holes, that allow for sexual contact but prevent close face-to-face contact.
Hold on. They actually use the term glory hole? Or
they use the
that?
Term glory holes.
Oh, man, that's funny.
It's incredible.
I just feel we need to put a sleeper cell message in. Person, woman, man,
camera,
TV. Damn it, I didn't get it in the right order. No, yeah, I got points.
You don't get full points. You don't get bonus points.
I didn't get my bonus points. Damn it.
So anyway, yeah, that was more or less it. I just wanted to talk about how the Canadian government recommended going to a glory hole.
Canadians love it. And that's where I leave that.
Melbourne, Australia. So New Zealand and Australia did really well during and recovered quickly, but Australia has been hit with quite a bad second wave.
Yeah.
Mostly in the state of Victoria, Melbourne. And the initial outbreak they put down to one of the guards at the quarantine hotels, because I don't know if you're doing this in America or not, or in England and Scotland, but people returning home because they were overseas for work or whatever are having to be quarantined in government facilities, and they're just using hotels for that purpose, like the paying hotels to use them as quarantine zones for the returning citizens. The guards was talking about how they didn't have enough training. I don't know why you need training, much training, more than don't let that person leave and don't talk to that person or have sex with that person, because there were guards in the Melbourne quarantine hotels who slept with some of the quarantined people.
Oh, yes. I did hear about this.
I don't know. That seems common sense. I don't know if I need training. And that is why they believe that it spread again, because then the guards were returning home and spreading it through their communities.
Because the guards weren't in quarantine, so.
No. But yeah, they were sharing cigarettes and hanging out with the people. It's just like, oh my goodness.
People are stupid, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sex just makes you stupid. Like.
Yeah.
Horniness is a disease. Never be horny.
I don't know, I wouldn't go that far. I'm not going to lie. It's fun. There is a time and a place.
It's not when you're in quarantine.
No.
But yeah, anyway, that's more or less my COVID-19 update, is that thankfully my state is finally mandating masks in public spaces.
Good.
Which, you know, is something that I've been doing since all this shit started, but, you know, no one else has.
Yeah, and I'm down here. No, we don't. There's no need to wear a mask here.
Yeah, must be nice.
But I did. I did the whole time during a lockdown when I went out to the shops.
So does anybody have anything non-video game related that they want to talk about other than COVID stuff?
Well, I know Brian.
Chicken coop update.
I was just going to say.
Come on.
I know Stuart wants to know about the chicken coop. It is under construction. It's under construction.
Still under construction. They have an ETA on its completion, so we know.
I probably would have had it finished yesterday, but I went outside and started working on it, and I got a Facebook video call from a high school friend that I haven't talked to, and who lives in Australia, who I haven't talked to in a while, so we had a bit of a catch up. And then my brother turned up, so we hung out. So I kind of, I lost about 2 hours worth of work time. I'm hoping to maybe get it done today.
Ooh,
nice.
So
the next podcast,
I want a full debrief.
Completed chicken coop.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get to hear about all of your free range eggs.
Well, we already have the eggs. Actually, okay. I can tell you a funny story. They're getting a little, they're about 3 years old, the chickens, and they stopped laying.
They've been waiting about for that coop forever.
Well, no, we've got them in enclosure now. It's just that we're trying to upgrade it, make it a little bit nicer and easier for mum to get into to, like, grab the eggs and whatnot. So they already have, like, a store-bought mini coop and then, a long chicken run over our fence, like, over a fence in the back of our yard. We're bringing just a nicer version of that to the front yard. It's, like, into the backyard where mum can get into easier. But yeah, our chickens stop laying for a few months every so often, and then they start laying again, and they've started laying, and one of the chickens is laying, like, mutant eggs that are, like, twice, you know, like, there's a large egg.
Yeah.
Do you guys have, like, sizes? Like, we size
do have
6,
sizes.
7, and 8.
Yeah.
Is that, like,
large, extra large.
Well, no, so we have numbers. Like, I don't know what it represents, but we're, like, 6, 7, and 8, like, are kind of the more common sizes.
Yeah. I think I generally only see large and extra large eggs on the shelves, but I'm sure that they're also...
Small?
Nah,
you Americans love starting with your large as your smallest size. And then your grandes and your whatever.
I do live in America, so that makes sense, right?
Yeah, you start the smallest large. But yeah, anyway, so a 7 is your standard baking size, I believe, that we tend to use as kind of the go-to, that's the reference that we use. So if you got it's a standard kind of egg. This egg was maybe at least twice, if not more, bigger than that.
Okay.
And my mum pulls it out, I'm like, look at this! And like, everyone, like me and my wife are like, dang, that poor chicken. But like, it was huge. It was like a good twice the size of a normal chicken egg. And it was all like warped and stuff. Like I don't know if you know, chicken eggs come out slightly soft when they first get laid. And then shell hardens. It was all like stretched and weirdly warped. I don't know why I'm talking about chicken eggs. This is not very exciting. I thought it was exciting.
Fascinating to me, so I'm glad you're talking about it.
I was just hoping this story would end with you've got double yokers.
No.
I would have went, nice.
We went there. We had made a bet on how many yolks were in it, because we assumed that it must be a multiple yolk egg because of the size. Nope. Just a single little yolk.
Single yolk,
and just a really large amount of egg white. That was the boringest toy
Exciting.
Ever.
Exciting.
That's what happens when you get domesticated and you have chickens and kids and stuff.
What about you, Stuart? Anything going on?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I feel you. Same way.
I live the most exciting life for everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing this week, Stuart? Nah.
Yep.
We're still quarantine. Still lays heavy upon us. I've yet to return to an actual shop that isn't a supermarket again. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, what's that? I'm going to work 50 plus hours and then fall asleep on the couch? Sounds like a week.
It's one way to do it. Fills the time. Yep. Yeah, fills the time. Yeah.
So let's talk about the news in video games then. Did anybody watch the Xbox thing?
No, yes. It was 4 o'clock this morning, so no. Or yesterday morning.
Okay. Stuart, I assume you watched it for work.
Lightweight. And for pleasure.
Yeah.
But work and pleasure.
Mixing them a little bit.
I was asked.
Had your pleasure sword and your business sword out?
Yeah, I was.
Hold
I was,
on, Brian. There. That was a little sexual for my liking.
Listen, that is a reference to the classic Gary Butterfield podcast, The Pitch.
This episode is the podcast reference episode. If you can find how many podcasts we listen to and reference in this, well done.
You win a prize of nothing.
Knowing you've done well.
So, now we've heard about Stuart's pleasure sword, can we... can we move on to video games?
It was a thing. As a great man once said, I do this every episode these days, it seems, the hype train only leads to
Station of Disappointment.
Toot, toot. And this one pulled in on time.
Yeah, man. Woo. I gotta say, like, I haven't watched all of the trailers and shit, but I did watch the Halo trailer because I had really high hopes for a new cool Halo game. We haven't seen Halo in a long time, and boy,
it looks like
does
oh,
that
shit.
Not look great?
It so, looks like it's made of plasticine.
It looked real cartoony.
It's really soft, and I mean like pudding soft. Like
what flavor? Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry,
donkey shit.
Like how it's is this just a game that's coming out on like the next generation console and not like the fucking game that came out on the Xbox original?
Well, like, take the visuals away. We'll remove the visuals because that's the biggest problem. And I know people will say, but that's the art style. And they've went for a hyper-realistic style, or what could be, in brackets, curtailed as realistic looking.
I mean, but that's the thing, is that, like, even if it... Like, I don't want Halo to look super realistic. Like, of course, like, Halo has, like, a... Has, like, its own art style. But, like, it looks, like, so... Like you said, it looks plasticky. It looks like...
So you look at,
there's no like clarity of style to it, even in like there's no even clarity of the Halo style in it.
Yeah, it's I've gone for the extra shine. There's like it seems like because
nah,
like
it's not even shine. It's just flat. It's as if it's missing 4 or 5 layers of texture on top of it, because the bit I kind of get over is the bit at the end. The big brute sits and talks, and he looks at him and that, and it's a really close up, and it's your kind of money shot. It's like,
it looks so
look
funny.
What you can do,
and it's like the brute so
is, he's like made out of plasticine, right? And I'm going, why do we not see all the wee individual hairs run his mane and the scarring and the tech? Like a brute's skin is a bit like a rhino's, for what I can imagine in my head. It's kind of patinaed and patchy and like kind of like leather hide or warrior,
yeah, porous,
and it should look like if you were to eat it, it would be chewy, right? Like really tough chewy skin.
Why we
eating? I'm doing that as a reference, but the guy is like it's literally, and I know it's horrible, but the brute looks about as detailed as Shrek. It's so bad. It's like,
fuck.
Shrek is about as much facial detail in the case of wrinkles and imperfections as that brute has, and it's fucking horrible. And as I said on Twitter, you promised me next gen and you delivered cross gen. No! No! That's not how I operate. And I just think, like, they egged it to an inch. I knew it was coming. All week, people were like, hey, what's coming? And I'm like, my heart wants me to believe, but my head's saying,
yep.
You remember Halo 5. You remember being there. You remember that pain. You remember that, and you had that feeling tight, and you fucking remember. And I remembered. So when the trailer started, oh, and then it shows you that Mexican guy, who I have fucking no attachment to whatsoever, and he looks like a Play-Doh doll.
Yeah.
I'm going,
his lip movement is hilarious.
And then you look at Chief and you go, well, Big Green looks good because Big Green's a fucking angle. He's a fucking polydecahedron. He's just shit angles. He's going to look good regardless of what you do with him. You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, the Chief looks good, but the difference is the Chief's made out of straight edges and flat edges and stuff. And then it's like, they get into the gameplay and, all right, gameplay looks all right. It looks like my kind of thing. If you like Halo, blah, blah, blah. It's fucking stealing ideas for Doom. Just saying, but
I don't know. Like I
a big red.
You're not the first person that said that to me. And like, Doom didn't invent the grappling hook. Like,
no, but Doom did invent the pull the guy. Like you, Doom did invent you going to the guy instead of the guy coming to you. And that was a made when I reviewed Doom. I says, and Doom's so aggressive that instead of hooking guys and pulling them to you, you get pulled to them because Doom takes you to the fight. And I'm like, yeah, it's Doom. Where in Halo, I'm like, I get it. It's an open world, open sectioned game. I'm not calling it open world till the final tally, but it's an open section game, and basically, it seems to be that the hook's there to help traversal and stuff like that. But as I was going to say, the big red flag, the biggest red flag was, in Halo 2, the joke was the brutes were brought in late in development and they were programmed like shit. So they did no real AI behind them. They were basically seek and destroy. So the brutes would come into the map and then just run at you. He walks up that ramp and the two drop pods drop and two brutes get out and they literally run at him. 15 years later, and the brutes are running at him. Like, it's not even like a joke. It's not even funny. It's like, the AI, the guy is doing the exact same thing we criticised 15 years ago. It's no like, folk are saying, oh, it's like going back in a port. No, it's not like fucking going back in a port. It's like basically serving up reheated dog shit. And I'm like, What are you taking the piss? Like 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, they said this is in the making. For the ground up for the Xbox X. Get the fuck. It's like, you should be ashamed.
But you can jump the Warthog.
It's like, yeah, the Warthog sounds like a fucking moped. The Warthog's meant to be a big, beefy Jeep with a strong engine. Like, you play it in Forza and it sounds like a monster. You play it in that and it's like, and you're like, what the fuck did they do? How did you fuck up? Like, how did you fuck up? It was easy. You knew what we wanted. The gameplay, right, we're gonna go there because I'm on my horse. I'm riding the stallion hard. You drop in, you fight brutes, elites, and grunts. The brutes, elites, and grunts are all wearing original armour. The elites have been sided with the UNFC, so it could be a fraction cell. But if it's a fraction cell, they should be banished. The banished armour colour is black, red, and silver. There was zero banished armour in that video. The whole point is that you're fighting apoxies. Men, right? So the whole point is it's a ragtag renegade faction made up of all different elements, say scumbags and killers and renegade. They were all the exiles, right? Fantastic idea, amazing, brilliant, sign me up. But he's running about shooting. You could not tell the difference between the enemies in that to the enemies in Halo 3 to the enemies in Halo 2. And I'm like, what is the point of the Banished? There's no Banished content here. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, are you just ripping the shit out of 343? It's like, I want to believe, I want to care, but it's like, no, it's not fair. Waiting so long for something and then for it to come out and you're like, oh, and then the blind are like, oh, this is amazing. It's that. Really? Look at God of War. Look at Horizon Zero Dawn. Look at Days Gone. Look at Last Years. Look at Spider-Man. Look at Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima.
I don't give a flying fuck. Look at any one of these Sony games. Fuck it, look at Killzone on the Vita. Look at Killzone on the Vita. It's like, where the, like, that ain't going to sell no system to no man. Never. Never, ever, ever. And I don't care. I don't care. I'm done. I'm done.
Good.
I just think, it would have been easier if fucking Phil Spencer dropped Trial and did a right big curly and walked off stage, because it's entertaining and it's aye, nah. No love here. Sorry, no love.
I love the passion.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the thing that blows my mind the most about it is that, like, people have been waiting for, like, literal years to see what this game is going to be like. And this is what you show us?
It's a reboot.
And it's a reboot, apparently?
It's like, so, as a fan, right, Halo 5 ended, Cortana was chasing Infinity. Infinity's a big mass. It's the biggest ship ever created by mankind. It's on the run, because Cortana's chasing it. Ah, fuck that, we're not telling you anything about that. At all. Nothing. And you're like, so, what the fuck? And God love him, my best mate keeps going on about the ship for Halo Wars, the Spirit of Fire. It's like us. It's out in the vastness of space. Bungie's just, no, sorry, 343, have just forgot about it. Ah, just fuck it. They're out there. Ah, fuck them. Just leave them out there. It's like, no, it's no fair. It's no fair for people who are invested in the story. And the coup de grace, the big monkey, the big brute chieftain.
There is no need to
they've
be
released
upset.
A Mega Bloks figure. Well, they've released a Mega Bloks figure, and his pauldron contains Locke's helmet. And I'm already putting bets on Locke dies, but we will not get to see him die in-game. He'll die in a tertiary media, because history has shown Joe Mandana was made the big bad in the comic books. He was a badass elite. He was like, oh my god, you wanted to kill him. They killed him in a fucking cutscene at the start of Halo 5. You didn't even get to sniff him. He was dead before you got in there. The Didac, the big bad guy for Halo fucking 4, the big guy that controlled you and could control your armour because he knew the origins of it and stuff and all that, right? You know what happened with him? Killed him in a comic. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck off. Like, I'm invested in your story and your universe, and I get it. But at the same time, it's like, give these characters their moment. I want to be Locke as I die. I want to be defeated as Locke, or I want to be Nathan Fillion looking across and seeing that brute pound the living fuck out of Locke, and me freak out and try and shoot. You know what I mean? These heroic moments set in that universe are just pissed away like echoes in dreams. And it's just like, no. And you can't defend it. You can't defend it. You just can't. It's not fair. It's not fair, god damn it. Toys out the pram, boys. I'm done. You're greeting.
Yeah, it's weird.
We would talk Halo. We would talk Halo, wouldn't we?
But yeah, I was surprised at the animation of the talking of the human in the. It's like the uncanny valley.
Did you see the rage? Did you see the rage that came for the close capture people?
No.
Apparently the close capture on it was new, like scripted, like pre, because it was a pre-recorded. Apparently the close capture was meant to be done post-edit, right? But it actually used native YouTube post-capture. And at that scene at the beginning, the guy's like, oh my god, look, there's a dick. And then the next scene, he's like, yep, that's a dick. And everybody's kicking out about it, going, this shouldn't be the standard Xbox are applying to their broadcasts, using auto-generated closed capture, because technically it's just guessing. It's trying to translate what the guy, the Mexican guy, is saying into it, and it's doing a really bad, bad job with it.
That's funny.
My kids were watching this, and you've got to send dick. Oh, maybe they are going to land on a dick. You know what I mean? How do you know? Oh, Jesus.
But it's too animated, the face. It's like, it looks...
But did you see...
It's just weird looking.
It's the details, but so like the last year is, I go early. I sneak up behind somebody with a shiv. I stab them. Ellie has grimace on her face. You can tell she doesn't want to kill. You can tell the guy she's killing's in pain. He screams. And that, the brute just sits and he's like,
okay.
Alright. Just pound the shit out of me. Alright. Don't worry. I'm fine. It's like, but no! And it's like, this is next gen. This is next gen gaming. Fuck me, man. I want to just go back to last gen.
Well, yeah.
Sony are just sitting rubbing their hands going, we've won, boys. We don't even fire a shot and we won.
I mean...
Well, that's Jesus the thing. The God thing God. I've noticed from a lot of these games, I didn't watch many of the trailers and I've watched a few, but I've read a little bit summaries of a couple. And it's... There's no kind of time they're coming out. Like, we've got Fable and it's like... It's just
the time thing... The time thing, nothing was announced date-wise unless it was this gen sort of thing, because the time thing's linked to the launch date. So they showed 22 launch titles. None of them were dated because...
They haven't announced
they can't reveal the
when release. The console is coming out yet.
Well, yeah. Do you think so they're going to be delaying trapped. Console?
No, they're yeah. just waiting. Yeah. It's the old... Sony and Microsoft are at somebody's at the door... going for lunch, and they're like, no, you first, and Sony's like, no, you first, and Microsoft's like, no, you first, and then they're like, no, you, and I'm right behind them with a sledgehammer, going to beat seven shades of shit out of the two.
It's just like we talked about last episode with the price of the Xbox versus the PS5, like, both of them are just waiting to see who blinks first, right?
Yeah, it's a bad game of chicken.
Time's going on.
No, you hang up. You hang up.
No, I love you more.
No, I love you more.
That is what we've been reduced to. That is the console.
Yeah, pretty much, man. So other than that, like, there were some cool games shown off, I guess. I don't know. I didn't watch a whole lot of trailers, but...
We'll put it this way, right? The ultimate kick in the balls was they went, right, here's this pile of shit. And then they went, by the way, here's what Turn 10 can do with the Xbox X. And they showed Forza, and you're going, wait a minute, hold on, that's like photorealistic, that's like, look at the mirror, and the shine, the beauty, that looks next gen, and then you go, wait a minute, what the fuck's Halo doing then? And I get heat, boys. I get fucking folk coming at me when I said, why you no look that good, Halo? Oh, it's because Halo's an open world game, and you're like, that's get fuck all to do with it. Yeah.
So here's the thing, is that, it's because Halo is an open world game, like, we can just look, we can stay in the same genre and talk about how much better Destiny looks.
What about Cyberpunk?
Right.
You know what I mean? Cyberpunk's right.
Cyberpunk's an RPG.
At the same time, it's like, it's still an open world. Well, I don't know about that. But the same thing. It's a hugely open world game where I can pull a gun out and shoot people. Right? It still looks night and day better than Halo.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's a ringed off hundreds of Sony titles. Every one of them still looks infinitely better than
absolutely.
Halo.
Oh, I like what you did there. Infinitely. So.
See, you get the heat, the anger's there, you know what I mean? Fucking, they've awoken the sleeping evil.
The beast.
But, I think it was horrible because they're just, like I say, they showed you that, which was their big, massive show opener, and then they show you Forza, and Forza looks amazing. Like, it looks, visually, it's like, wow. And you're like, that's next gen. That's what the fuck with it, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Even, like, I know it was pre-rendered, and you can start going, oh, there's no gameplay being shown, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the State of Decay 3 one was stunning as well, with the zombie deer, and then the wolf. Oh, the wolf was did win it, because the zombie deer, see what they did there? They had a deer kill a wolf.
Nice. The Rare's Everwild looked interesting. Yeah. Like, it was like a quite an interesting art style. Though there was like a giant fish who like puked out mini fish. That was a bit gross.
Fish. Yeah.
But
I just want Rare to actually have a good. See, Rare's one of the developers that's held in such high regard. But let's be honest, they've not had a good game since the N64. Do you know what I mean?
I would argue that they didn't have a good game on the N64.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies. Well, like Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts, less said the better. Perfect Dark Zero, less said the better. Viva Pinata, I'll give you Viva Pinata. Fair enough, it's a good wee series. But it's like, they've not had anything really, and I really want them, like, Sea of Thieves.
It was so bad.
It's the old scenario. It's good now, but it's too late for me, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, it'd be nice to see them actually succeed in making something good and something people can actually go, wait a minute, this is actually a really good game for a studio that's seemingly a load of nice people. Do you know? It's a really weird one, because usually you'd imagine there'd be a witch hunt run about Rare, but they always seem to get a buy on the Interstellar list of companies that are nice. Oh, they're nice.
Yeah. This game does look interesting, but I know what you mean.
Man, speaking
but
of...
Is anyone asking for State of Decay 3?
People like those games.
Does anyone like... Do they?
State of Decay 2 was okay, but it ran like a bag of spanners.
I think I played it.
I think the big thing people are saying about it is that... wait for it. Apparently, State of Decay's now a AAA series because Microsoft's got money. And they've went for that treble B kind of indie download title to a full blown full fat. This is it. Like, the second one was meant to be what it was. It was the first. Well, the first one never had online, so the second one got online. But the second one looks a lot and plays a lot like the first one. Whereas this one's meant to be like the final envisionment, that word of what the series could be. And at the end of the day, I'm like, take it or leave it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Zombies are so last decade. Yeah. But then we've got Obsidian trying to make their own... what is it called? Skyrim?
Elder Scrolls, yeah.
Yeah. Revenge is what I call it.
I don't know. The visually, it looked kind of cool. But I don't know.
It's a CGI trailer. You can't take... The only thing I took for it was, oh, look, he's got Doctor Strange magic powers. He's doing all that, with his hand and opening portals and... Whatever.
But again, it's just like, when is it coming? Like,
that'll be miles away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that like half of the things that they showed are, when are we going to see these games? Who knows?
Well, that... You got to remember, Obsidian showed prior to that Grounded and the DLC for Outer Worlds. So, like, that firm's already got two titles that are... The DLC for Outer Worlds is the first of two planned big story DLCs. So they're on the cards, and then you've got Grounded, which is just about to launch in preview, which means it's going to be an ongoing project. So that RPG's probably going to be at least 2 or 3 years away, I think, realistically speaking.
Yeah, and I'm just tired of seeing games as concepts. Like, announce them and then release them, please. Like,
yeah, like, tell me I can play your video game when you announce it.
Yeah. I know it's exciting to see what's coming.
The hype cycle, like, tell me when I can play your video game. Other than that, I don't really give a fuck.
And to be honest, Elden Ring's FromSoft usually have a good history of announcing and releasing in a short period. Like Bloodborne, we found the leaks happened and the game was released within 6 months or something.
Well, there was a lot of talk of that. But pre-show being shown, and it never did. It never showed face.
Well, yeah, Elden Ring's probably the first From Software game in recent history that hasn't had a quick release after.
Because it's connected to J.R. Martin, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's gonna. It's
because they had to announce his connection before Game of Thrones ended. for it to have any impact, because they knew that last season of Game of Thrones was dog shit. I know he's not to do with it in brackets, but is the actual
association
currency, the currency of his name kind of loses a bit of shine dependent upon how Game of Thrones still lasts in people's
minds. Which
mind,
it fucking, yeah, like, no, I cannot think of another TV show that, like, has fallen out of the cultural conversation faster, like, from the height that it was at than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, that's a good
Lost.
Point.
Maybe.
That's still like a reference for things going weird.
Yeah, like, like, no, nobody even, Lost. Like, I don't hear anybody talk about Game of Thrones anymore in a way that, like, yeah, people still reference Lost.
Yeah, I suppose. You do get somebody from time to time giving the you know nothing line, but.
Yeah, so it is interesting. Like, I don't know, like, I'm obviously excited for Elden Ring, but we have just no clue when it's coming. And I think when they do announce it, officially, like, properly, when the release, I think it'll be soon after, because that's what From Software tend to do. But we've known about this game for a long time.
But it reminds me, there's a bit of a whiff, Deep Down, was it?
Oh, yeah, the Dragon's Dogma pseudo-sequel.
Yep. The myth. Because it got a showing at E3, didn't it? And it was a really, let's say, fancy render thing, and then...
But hey, man, we're getting a Dragon's Dogma anime, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's out soon, isn't it?
I think it's, like, what, September 17th, something like that?
Wonder how they'll handle the pawn system. That would be quite cool.
There's some questionable things about that, but yeah. Well, actually, that's a game that never came out. Deep Down, that was a game that was it the PS4?
Yeah,
was shown for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an example of how you get one big boom, it's a thing, and then it's like it's nothing, and we still know nothing of it, because apparently was that not meant to be like a. It was meant to be a PS4 big game, and then it became inferior, a PS5 launch title, and then inferior, it's disappeared into nothingness, into the mists of time and space.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm looking at some screenshots of the Dragon's Dogma anime, and the characters all look like characters, but then the dragon is just a full-on fucking CGI dragon.
Which looks better than anything in the
Halo Which looks better trailer. Than anything in the Halo Infinite trailer.
The salt is real.
Yep. That's my new go to. Here's my fifth born child. Slam.
Yeah, I don't know. Things happen. But
anything else take your eye at the thing?
I don't know, does anyone care about Fable? Honestly, no. Fable was a bad game.
Yes, because it filled me with joy when they panned out that picture and I went, it's the Forza 4 map! I was right! My pin hat theory was right! I knew all along!
Oh, yeah, you did talk about that.
And I'm like, I was telling people all over in the world, this is going to be, this is why it's happening. And then they pulled out and I went, look at that tree line. I'm sure I've drove a Subaru through that at speed and hit that tree. So yeah, it's like, I don't know why, but the world was like, one of the best kept secrets in, I don't know if it was a joke or no, but one of the best kept secrets in gaming is that Fable was getting made by Playground Games. Which could be a really big turning point for that studio, considering that studio only does driving games.
Well, yeah.
So I don't really know how to feel about it. But for what I heard was they also, it kind of came out yesterday, they've recruited people for like BioWare and who else was it? BioWare and Guerrilla Games and stuff like that. So they've kind of brought in talent on top of, so like I follow quite a lot of the Forza team and all the Forza team are working on it seems, and I'm like, going to be a bit interesting. I hope I can drift as a wizard.
The horse might work a bit funny. But no, I just really didn't like Fable. I finished the first one. The second one was rubbish. But it's just, they weren't well balanced. It wasn't a very well balanced game. It was just janky. And
I'm definitely going to pour one out tonight for my boy Peter Molyneux, who's been forgotten in all of this hurrah and buzz. It's like, don't forget the legend that brought this series to life and killed it, unfortunately. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. We just think of the good times. The good times. Big Pete went mad with power. As I was saying to my brother, if Pete had done it the same way as Kojima, we would be in a different place, but he didn't. He went King Lira on his and got power mad and went crazy and then went into exile for years.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anything else stuck up? Stick out?
Oh, well. Just one of the legends of the industry. Oh, well. Yeah, moving on.
Destiny 2 coming Toss to Game them. Pass is pretty cool. I'm excited for people that get to play that game that haven't played that game, like with the new, because you'll get access to all of the expansions, and that's really cool.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. I like that. I like the idea of getting expansions for me. Stalker 2 looked good as well for the CGI rendered piece. I like the idea of walking about a radiated Chernobyl as a wasteland survivor. Get big metro energy and fallout energy from it. It was like, that smells toasty. But yeah, quite fancy. Quite like Stalker's one of these series that's always been on the peripheral in my vision, but never in it because I don't have a PC. So, be interested to see how that series goes on the Xbox. Other than that, I think there was just a handful of other smattering of bits and bobs. Nothing really. Dragon's Quest is coming to Game Pass. Woo!
Was it coming to Game Pass or just to Xbox?
Yeah, no, it's coming to Games. Comes to Game Pass. It's the first ever time a Dragon's Quest game's on Xbox, and it'll be on Game Pass. The only other big thing that Disney shown in the show that I think's probably worth talking about or saying is they've now removed Xbox Gold subscriptions, and you can only get Xbox Ultimate subscriptions. But the xCloud streaming service is now part of Ultimate. So in theory, if you have an Ultimate or if you have a subscription to Xbox, you could have access to the xCloud streaming service, which means you can stream any like over 100 first party titles to your phone, your tablet, your laptop, your toaster. And I just feel like it's like Stadia was maybe going to open the door and Xbox just kicked the door and killed Stadia against the wall and went, ha ha, you're dead. I've played with the xCloud stuff and I'll be honest, it's really impressive hooking up your controller to your phone and playing like Sea of Thieves on your phone in the living room when your console's upstairs. But you can also play it when you're out and about as well, which is a really nice touch.
Well, that's the thing, there's no real need to buy an Xbox console anymore.
Well, it's less console now and more
a platform
service, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so it's, Game Pass is looking better and better, because it used to be just first-party games, so they're getting a lot more third-party.
I love the fact that all the Yakuza's, so far, they're releasing every Yakuza on it, which is great, because that's getting like instant market penetration through a glory hole for safety, to people who've never played a Yakuza in their life.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I think that's Dragon's Quest. The number of people who may know what Dragon's Quest is or know what the slime is, but never played a Dragon's Quest.
Yep.
And you're going to have instant access to Dragon's Quest on it. You know what I mean? Some of the games I'm going to talk about are on Games Pass tonight, or no, not just tonight, but for the foreseeable, but they're all on Games Pass, so if you've got Games Pass, you can try out the games I'll speak about this evening. You know what I mean? Get excited. And every one of them looks better than Halo Infinite. And that's a promise.
Yeah, see, I'm just not in that ecosystem anymore. Like, and I just
You hated Xbox when I joined, so.
Yeah, no.
You don't forget. You don't forget.
But yeah, I also use Mac computers, so
and that says everything.
There's nothing I can use.
And here, end of the story, children.
Yep.
So yeah, bitter is the word of the news this week. Somebody want to move us on?
Yeah, was there any other news?
I've got a cool thing actually. Have any of you guys played the game series Suikoden, the RPG series?
Yep.
It's a it was on the PS1 originally, the PS1, PS2. I think there's been some games on the DS, PSP, a couple other. Anyway, point being is that a lot of the like developers that were involved in making those games have created a new studio called Rabbit and Bear Studios and announced that they are going to be kickstarting a game called Ayuden Chronicle, which is heavily inspired. It's a spiritual successor, quote unquote, to Suikoden, and looks really, really cool. Here's the thing: is that I'm guessing that it's a Kickstarter for publishing the game because all of the art that they show like seems like this is release art. Like they've got like shots of the game in action. Like we haven't seen video of it or anything, but I will drop the link in the chat so y'all can look at these screenshots that look just like these are just screenshots of our video game and we need money to be able to release this game on platforms other than PC.
That is quite tidy.
It looks really pretty, and the Suikoden games are some of my favorite games. I'm excited.
I think you'll find it looks...
It does, in fact, look better than Halo Infinite.
It actually has an art style.
Yeah.
Look at those rocks. Those rocks have texture. Actual texture.
And additionally, Motoi Sakuraba, composer of much of the Dark Souls soundtrack, is attached to it as a composer for this game. So,
oh, cool.
That's exciting.
Is it?
But, see, we talked about this in a couple... I'm sure we talked about this a couple of shows ago, but it seems to be in the realm of where the Wonderful 101 was.
Yeah.
And the Wonderful 101's campaign was tainted horrifically because people signed up to get it. And this is for the UK side, but I'm sure it's the same in the States. And it was like £60 pledge. And then when they shipped the physical copies, there was an automatic £15 import on it, right? Everybody got hit with it. So the bottom line at the end of the night was that people who backed it paid £75 for a game they could go online and get for £30 for a UK retailer. And Platinum basically went,
yeah,
I don't give a shit. We told you before you backed us that anything like this that would happen, you've already said, oh, it's fine, just take my money. And what happened was that the backers ironically paid double the price to get a copy of the game opposed to a retail. So I think this hopefully will only be the same, but I think this is a danger to this kind of pre-production publishing side of things is, yeah, it's great to have these things ready to roll and ready to have, but if they're going to get hit by things like this with shipping, it's a dangerous game because people will be wise to it and go, well, why pay $50? $50 to back, it's great, I got a few goodies and stuff, but if I'm getting £15 on top of that and I can get a retail copy for like
£35-40,
why would I do it? And I think I don't know, I think a lot of people did get burnt with Wonderful 101. And I don't know moving forward if it's going to be a problem, you know?
Yeah, this is the kind of game that I would probably only back for a digital copy anyway, so... At this point, like, if it's a board game, I don't want a physical thing most of the time, so...
Suikoden 2 was one of my favorite games of time. It's like one of those RPGs. Yeah. It's Final Fantasy VII, Xenogears, and Suikoden 2 were some of my favorite games back in the day. So yeah, this is I'm keen to try this.
So there will be a Kickstarter probably by the time this podcast goes live. Will be up. So if you're interested, check it out. I can't promise.
Is it doing the
good?
I haven't read much about it because we're talking. Is it going for like the large scale battles as well as like what Suikoden 2 did with like you had a was it 130?
It does say that there characters. There are 100 unique heroes in. The game, they haven't said anything really about like how big the battles could be. But
yeah.
They did. I know the only thing that I read that they said is that it will have like epic camera work for the big boss fights and stuff. Which whatever, dynamic camera, amazing. Like sure is cool that we had that 30 years ago. But yeah. You know, like if it's cool, it's cool. If it's not, you know, don't fucking kickstart it. Don't blame me if it's bad. I think it'll be good though. It's promising. I'll say that.
Yeah. The character design is very, very, very much like the...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The Suikoden characters being...
Like, the art style is, like, 100% just Suikoden, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a good thing, I think.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So, that's about all I got. I don't know if y'all have any other stories that you want to talk about.
Nah, no more news from me.
Nah, I'm better enough as it is.
All right, well, let's drink some juice that isn't bitter and talk about the video games that we've been playing. Stuart, I feel like you're probably the most likely to have played video games that aren't the same video games all the time. So tell us about your video games.
Yeah, a trio of downloadable delights. Woohoo! All on Games Pass. Woohoo! I think they're all on Games Pass. First up, Night Call. What's Night Call? It's a cracking song from Drive. That is true. But it's also the name of a really interesting visual novel game where you are a cab driver in Paris. And you're a cab driver in Paris. You pick up a fare, and it turns out that you are at the scene of a killer who kills someone, and you are left for dead, but you come back to health. But it turns out that the attacker is actually a serial killer who's killing people around Paris. And it's up to you, because you've got nothing better to do with your time, to go back to work, and then you decide to turn amateur detective and go on in the main streets of Paris and do your job while collecting information and solving the murder with the help of the cops and stuff, because in theory you're the prime suspect, which is quite interesting, because why would they let the prime suspect go back to his job as a night driver? Anyway. But it's a really interesting game. I usually don't buy any of these kind of games, but I really enjoyed the kind of change of pace, because what happens is you start your shift, you've got a tank of petrol and you've got so much money, and your shift lasts like 6 hours in game, and you have the map of Paris and people start appearing, so you go and you pick up the fare gets in the car, and literally it is just a cab ride and you talk to the passenger about whatever their woes may be. Examples are, I've took somebody to the airport to meet their arranged wedding groom, and you kind of tackle some kind of weighty subjects. I've met somebody who's not living up to the kind of expectations of their parents. I took a Japanese guy to the airport, and he spoke not a word of English, which was really weird, because it was like 15 minutes of him talking Japanese and me literally simulating how I react in other countries and going, yes! Which ended up talking about Yakuza to him, which was really odd. And it's just a really nice, no breakneck speed-paced game, but there's a lot of heart and soul went into it. It's a really... they're just really nice art style. It's very noir. It's all black and white with accents of kind of goldy bronze. And you just kind of literally just drive. It's not so much a cab simulator, because you don't drive. You're just a listener. And you intersperse things. And if you intersperse in the right way, it opens up new dialogue trees. So you can be a dick. You can be a nice guy. You can be inquisitive. You can be lots of things. You know what I mean? As I would imagine a taxi driver can be in kind of weird ways. Whenever he's got a fare, you read the person and you hear, instead of just going, how's the weather? Or did you see the score last night? You kind of get a lot of baggage for a lot of people. And it's real, just a really nice wee kind of salad niçoise of a game to play in between the kind of more weightier titles at the moment, I felt. Any seen it or heard of it?
No, nope.
Not.
No.
Well, chat. Like, I'm looking at some art of it, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool because it rains all the time in Paris. So, like, it's like you've got that constant tipper-tapper of the rain hitting off the cab.
Man.
While you're
so, my alarm app on my phone has some white noise options for when you're falling asleep, and one of them is a rain on the car roof, and boy, that shit puts me to sleep instantly. It's the best.
Well, if you've got Games Pass,
I can put Nightcall on and fall asleep instantly.
Yep, that's it. Maybe solve
maybe
a murder.
Solve a murder. Maybe take a nap.
The other thing I was playing was Subliminal, which is if Portal and the Stanley Parable had relations in Canada. And the hole they were using was a copy of Inception. Because it's basically a puzzler where perspective is everything.
Oh, I remember seeing stuff about this game. I always thought it looked really cool.
Yeah, so you are a test subject in a sweep experiment. And you have to clear a number of rooms. But it's all about solving them by using... So, you just right now, look across the room, you see an object, right? That object is a size, but in the game, you can take that object, and if you bring it closer to you, it ends up becoming massive. So, you can pick a chess piece up, and it'll become the size of a house. Because perspective is a thing. And you use it to kind of make stairways and solve puzzles and... It's really really interesting because in one hand you've got a kind of robot talking to you, like a GLaDOS-style robot who kind of wants you to do things, but then you're also finding audio tapes from a doctor from the outside world who's kind of explaining what's happening to you. And as you go, it's like, it becomes quite trippy. There's a section where they start using light and shadow, and it is just, yeah, it's pretty... Whoa, I don't like it. It's really clever. It's a clever puzzler that embodies that space. And I like that space, that kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of piss-takey, kind of dry humour kind of room, you know. One of the examples of the puzzle is you're in a room and you can't get out. What a surprise. And there's an exit sign. So you grab the exit sign, you bring it closer to make a bridge, and you drop it, and you literally just jump over the wall because it's a fake set. And there's lots of other really cool, interesting, like, you can make a stairway out of grabbing a door, and every time you grab the door, it duplicates itself. So you just keep grabbing the door and walking back to climb. It's different. It's different. It's fun. Burn time, pretty short. First playthrough, 3 hours, maybe.
Sorry,
maybe less.
It's on sale on the Epic Store for $15 right now. I might pick it up.
Yeah, well, like I say, 3 hours. Is it worth that for 3 hours? Much does it cost to go to the movies? That's for you to decide.
I mean,
not me. I'm just ignoring.
If it compares like favorably to Portal, then yes, I would say so.
It doesn't.
Sure.
Don't have like a Portal gun. But it's more the kind of logic you have to use. It's like it's more logic based. Like it takes what you know and throws it out the window, basically. And doing the perspective thing does take time to kind of click. It's like, what am I doing? See. I really enjoyed it. It's fun. It's another wee entree before a big massive game or after a big massive game. A really nice instant we hit a joy as you complete each room. It feels, you get that wee bit of, my head works. Good. And the final game I played was Carry On, which I finished today, and it's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. You're a monster. Be a monster. Kill people. End of story. Metroidvania game where you play.
Yeah, so you basically just play as like the
Yeah, you're a big, massive red, gloopy mess who is locked inside this facility, and you have to escape. And you have lots of different powers.
It's just the end of Inside. That's how it ends.
Pretty much. You basically.
I hated that game.
You smash through walls, and you rip apart people, and you eat people, and you blow up robots and drones, and you solve different puzzles by doing different things. And the one issue I have with the game is it doesn't have a map system, which is a killer. But then the argument is you're a big mass thing, so you don't have a. You could argue looking deep into it. The story's quite vague as well, or beyond you are a big monster and you're trying to escape. But there's also bits where you play as a kind of human in flashbacks, and it's the kind of the guys who get sent in at the start of the outbreak to see things, what's happening, but then it doesn't quite pan out. There's not really a payoff to that set, the kind of flashbacks.
This is disgusting.
Kind of hints. Yeah, it's like, it's kind of Super Meat Boy moments. So wherever you go, you leave a bloody trail of chunks. It's brilliant. I love it. It was an amazing game. It was, again, 45 hours completion time on Game Pass. And just tons of fun. Just another power fantasy. Be a big mass that eats things. And everything screams when you come for it.
Question.
You don't make friends, just eat them.
I hate them. A question. The video I'm watching here to understand what you're talking about looks like it's been controlled by a mouse. How does it play with a pad?
Really, really well. Really well. The sticks, it's really responsive. And it gets really interesting because your mass grows exponentially. So there's like three stages, but you may need to revert to stage two to access a puzzle, but then you need to go back, but then that might leave you unable to defend yourself and stuff, and all of that. So there's that kind of side there, because a lot of the kind of puzzles involve you tentacling a switch through a wall and stuff, like there'll be a wee crack in a wall, you can mind control guys. So you can release a tentacle that hooks into the back of dead bodies. You can reanimate dead bodies that haven't been munched. And you can run about with assault rifles shooting guys and stuff like that. It's the whole, like, he's the monster! It's good. It's good. It's good. Two thumbs up. If you like monsters, you'll enjoy that.
It does look better than Inside.
And it looks better than Hell Infinity. That says a lot, because it's an 8-bit art style game.
At least it has an art style.
And a beautiful art style like that. But then I imagine, you think the subject matter and what you're doing in that game, imagine that in 3D, that would be a messy update. That would be messy as hell. It's one thing to get a wee man, and a wee pixel man, and rip him apart and have pixel squares spewing everywhere. Imagine that in 3D.
Yep.
That's probably not going to do as well as what you imagine.
Yeah. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Still, good audio, but because you're a big, sloppy, gunky, slippy thing. There's a real weight to you as you move, and then your gnawing noise. It's really clever. It's cleverly done. Plus, there's a big thing about how the icon on the Switch looks like a particular female body part. Ho, 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 risky. So.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing. Another game.
I'm assuming Charles is going to talk about that video game. Later. So, Charles, tell us about Ghost of Tsushima and other video games if you've been playing them.
I did talk about last week. No, I haven't had time, to be honest. I've tried playing Paper Mario this week, but just haven't had time between work.
It's good.
Work and getting ready for this cosplay competition that we're entering. Haven't had time, much spare time. But Ghost of Tsushima is freaking awesome. It's still good. I said last week I'd played an hour or so before we chatted, Brian, and I was already happy with it then, and I'm still happy with it now. It's, I don't know, like, there's a lot of, it is very typical in its some of its gameplay style. Like, it has that open world.
It's the greatest Assassin's Creed that never was an Assassin's Creed, I think. I see it as that.
Yep, there is that. But I think I just don't like open world games in general. But I think I forgive this a lot more because of the subject matter. I think that gives it a pass for me, and I'm able to overlook some of the things that I usually wouldn't put up with in other video games, because it's just so much fun being a samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and there's a few things that they've done really well, like they're quite clever, simple but clever.
It's like this, it's also like the Dark Souls that isn't a Dark Souls as well, in it. It's like the most, it's like very Dark Souls-y combat in a way, but it's also really forgiving in the fact that there's no, like, if you mess up, you respawn. It's great.
Yeah, and they often take the counter away, which I found when I've died a couple of times. It's loaded right where the counter was, but the patrol isn't there. The Mongol patrol isn't there to fight me. So it's, as I say, like, the scenery is fantastic to look at. It just makes exploring a lot of fun. The little design tricks they've done, instead of having heads-up display, it's the wind guiding you. It's just thematically...
It's the one thing I wasn't a big fan of, was the wind. It just...
Why is it?
I personally couldn't read it. It annoyed me. I kept hitting that button and trying to work out how to read it.
Like, yeah.
What are you trying to tell me, wind?
See, my big problem with open-world games, I tend to just flick into the map too much and it just pulls you out of the game. And I'm trying not to do that with this. I still do. Because you just put, like, I
generally do the map to kind of give me a steer to a direction, because I think the wind, assuming you're going full pelt on your horse and trying to do the wind, I just, it's no really that legible where you're needing to go, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It would be nice if there was maybe a kind of, if it was like a solid white breeze surrounded by like a faint white breeze, but see, because it's loads of lines, I'm like, oh, I don't know what that wants me to do.
Yeah, see, I don't have too much trouble with that. I find that works. I do find it, because there's no real other display, but they do still have icons that appear of where you need to, and I kind of wish there wasn't.
Have you been into options? Because there's loads of things you can switch on and switch off.
Yeah, because it'd be nice to just actually, instead of showing me where the footprints are, let me find the footprints. Mm. So maybe I should look.
You can switch that off.
I might switch that off.
Definitely.
Unless it's going
to
be real.
You can strip it. You can strip it right back to bare bones.
Yeah, because
in which way it's like, it's just the screen with nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far, but like, if the prompt comes up when you're right there, like, fine. Like, and so I know when I have to push.
Oh, you can take off like counter prompts and all that as well. So, like, you know how they kind of, when their spear grows red,
yep,
when they're going to charge attack, you can take all that off as well, I think.
Oh, heck, that'll be too far. Because it's nice to know when to dodge those. Or...
Call yourself samurai.
but anyway, I like the wind. It's a shame you don't. But the other things, like the little...
I didn't say I didn't like it, I'm just not a fan of it.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Sorry to put words in your mouth. But the birds, I think, is a really nice way of kind of going, hey, look, something's nearby. Do you want to go look? And just the audio cue for it is charming and distinct enough that you won't miss it. And then the yellow bird flying down. So, Brian, I don't know if you're aware, like, if you get nearer and something that's of note on the map, a bird will find you, a tropical-looking bird, like a nice bright yellow bird, will fly down.
What would it be called? Okay. Arrow in other games?
Well, exactly, yeah. And it basically will fly around you and then guide you to said an interesting thing on the map, like... They'll lead you to a side mission or someone to talk to who has a side mission. They'll lead you to the Bamboo Strike mini game, which is practicing your sword strikes, which levels you up a little bit. So it's just a nice way of saying, hey, look, there's something nearby, but you don't need to check the map to see it 30 times. Like, it's not just an icon on the map. It will lead you there with organic. It's just a heads-up display, but just done in a more thematic way. And I like the wind because it has that real kind of the Winds of Destiny kind of feel, like it's the... He's been guided by destiny. Right. That real, like, kind of...
Riding that wind hard. riding that one.
But yeah, so there's, I don't know. Thematically, it's just a, it's a cool game. Historically, it's not super accurate. Like the advancement in the samurai gear is way beyond the time frame that the game is based in. The Mongols did invade.
Well, but it sets, it sets itself at a factual point, but in history,
yes,
that's what I think is quite cool, is the actual invasion, yes, of the actual islands of Japan by the Mongols is the, when the game is set.
Yep.
So that's a nice touch, but it then writes its own history, which again, I don't have a problem.
No, exactly. It's a, it's a, it's a game.
It's when you get, you get to the point where you get the plasma rifle, things get really
the, oh, rocket, yeah, the rocket pack. But as I say, yeah, yeah, the advancement, the samurai swords probably weren't as well established by that point, and looked, and even the armor probably wasn't quite as distinct at that point. The age of samurai, the real age of samurai, kind of came a little bit later. And so they've kind of taken liberties with history and kind of moved some of the weaponry back in time to suit the game. And I can understand that, to make it more iconic. Apparently the game's very popular in Japan. They're really enjoying it.
Although the dub isn't.
The dub isn't.
That's, see the, you know how the Japanese audio tracking it?
Yep.
The mouth syncing's not synced. I did know Japanese. They've only done, they've done one. So basically there's an English sync, but the, it's, it made me laugh because I was saying to my mate, it's like the reverse of 70s Kung Fu movies.
Yes, it is.
Because 70s Kung Fu movies is, oh, the English is badly dubbed one, this, the Japanese is badly dubbed. I'm like, that's kind of weirdly funny in a kind of odd, ironic way.
It's not terribly jarring, because I have it in Japanese.
Mm.
What I did like, I had tried the English just for like one scene, and I noticed that that the voices were seen to be Asian actors, even though it was English, which I thought was good.
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's quite a few big, well, I say big names, but the Mongol leaders, the guy who, ironically enough, played Genghis Khan in Night at the Museum. I know that's a massive credit to his name, but he is the same guy who played the, and I think the lead guy is, trust me, I'm not going, honest, I'm not. I think the lead guy is quite well known as well for a role, and he's, oh, he was in, you know, he was in Prey in Call of Duty. He's been in Blacklist, so he's been in a few things. He's been in Love, Death, Robot. So
yeah, cool.
Make of that what you will, but yeah, it's predominantly an Asian. It's, well, yeah, they're all Asians that are like the cast. I'm just looking at them all right now. They're all of Japanese or whatever origin.
Which I think is a good thing. I think that's, I'm glad they did that. I think that's a nice touch. Well, it shouldn't even be a nice touch. It should be just standard. But you know what I mean.
Well, that's us back into the problem. We mind, we were talking about it, about how everybody went after Rocker and the new Death by Daylight. That's another game that we do not talk about. Deadly Premonition, about the LGBT character and how everybody would go on their high horse because it wasn't portrayed by an LGBT character. A character, person, yes, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's more a case of, yeah, it's great that they're doing that, but they are, you kind of sit back and think to yourself, are they actually just doing that because they are covering themselves? But then I don't think so. I think there's such a love for the subject matter that they did it because it does add an actual real authenticity to the tale that they're telling, you know?
Yep. I think it was natural to do it. As I say,
Nolan North got the night off.
Yep. Troy Baker as well.
Yeah, Troy Baker. Troy Baker can play his guitar tonight. Don't play your guitar, Troy.
But as I say, like, it is a straight up homage to old samurai films. And
yeah, it's to the samurai what Red Dead was to the western, the spaghetti western.
Well, which is interesting because a lot of the samurai films are inspired by the spaghetti westerns. So,
yeah.
And so it's this weird crossover. And so then you get like Kill Bill, who's and stuff like that. Tarantino, who's inspired by the samurai films, so it's kind of like it's weird crossing the Pacific Ocean a couple of times. So he's sort of inspired by the westerns, and then he went and did westerns. Anyway, yeah,
you can play your flute.
You can write a haiku.
Yes, you can play your flute. You can't, again, haikus weren't actually a thing at that point in history as well, so that's another kind of a story.
I think you'll find that's the point where you're meant to say, I think you'll find.
Yes, you can write a haiku. I've only found two of those now. I haven't read it. Those are the thing I haven't found many of. But it's just really fun to explore. The missions are enjoyable, like,
it's packed full of detail.
It is.
I love the detail.
Like, there's little things.
I love how you're, see the swordplay, the stances, see the standoffs. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. It's like, hey, you! And you just stand. It's basically just a duel. It is just an okay corral duel, but you hold your sword tight and you wait and you wait and you wait, and then it's whoopee! One slice and you're done. And then his eight mates come running at you, but when you level up, you can chain that one slice into
three slices.
Numerous one slices.
So, Brian, what that is as I said last week to you, Brian, the combat kind of scales real well. Like, it evolves with the scenario you're in, and that's what I actually like about it. A lot of other games, they seem to do one-on-one really well, and when you have more than one, it's terrible. Or it's designed to be really a multi-enemy game, and it does that really well, but when there's one-on-one, it's just pointless. This scales, for me, I find it scales really well, no matter what the situation.
But that's the thing, there's not a traditional level system in it, so the argument is, right, you can go right to the end of the game and fight the baddie, or not the baddie, but you could go to the top of the map and fight guys, but they're no power level, they're no, everybody's, it's based on your skill and technique, no you banking XP points.
Yep.
And I think that's a really, really refreshing way to play a game that has a level up structure. So instead of grinding to kill guys to get points, to earn that next token to get the next perk, it's actually down to you and your art of combat that repays your leveling up. You know, it's a really nice system.
Yeah, it is really cool. So yeah, Brian, the combat, what you can do, if you find like a Mongolian camp base, stronghold.
Outpost.
Yeah, outpost. You can sneak in and be the ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Or we call him
Steve.
You can just like walk up to the front gate and there's just a button you can push and basically you just challenge him. You're like, oi, get over here. And you challenge them and they'll send out a guy to face you, and there's a standoff thing where basically you got to hold a button down and you got to time it, and when he attacks you release, and they'll try and fake you out, and if you release at the wrong time they get like a good critical hit on you. And so there's different ways to approach it. What I like at the end, if you're sneaking through like a base and you're like, I just can't find the last guy, like, where is this last guy to finish off this stronghold, you can call out and say, hey, come out. He doesn't say that, but you can basically, there's a button to push that you can call out the guys and they'll come out and they'll come find you, so you don't have to like, because we've all been there in video games where we're like, there's one guy left, but where is he? And you're just like running around in circles, and it's just cool that they've added that in, that you can be like, I'm ready to take
just,
on the last guy.
You can just taunt him into showing up, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it's like really simple details, but it's just so good for like you, like gameplay, and just make things smoother for the player.
How do you feel the balance? I really like the fact that like the guy's bred samurai, he is samurai, he lives, he believes, he shits samurai swords, and the whole like when I reviewed it, I've said like things we take for granted as gamers, like stealth attacks, sneak attacks, headshots for 2 miles away. That's a dishonourable way of combat. And the fact is, like, it goes against his code. And obviously his code, the samurai, is of honour and stuff, but it's such a restricted code. You need to fight everybody face on. You need to, basically, it's eye contact in it. You can't kill somebody unless you look into their eyes. And I really like this turmoil between him and his character, and that we're back to The Last of Us 2. it's kind of similar to that. Like,
yep.
How far are you willing to lose yourself to become the saviour of your people? But in becoming that saviour, you are losing fundamentally the essence of what makes you the man you are. And I love that. And I love the fact that it's like, what he finds really challenging, you don't think, like, sneaking up behind a guy and killing him. I did that a million times. I don't even think about that. You know what I mean? That's a piece of piss. But the minute you do it, it's like, oh my God. He's like, oh man, I've dishonoured my uncle and my way and my brothers and that. And you're like, holy shit, maybe I have been a bad guy all my life.
But that's the thing, there's actually good reason for it in this game. Like, you're trying to free your people. It was just revenge for The Last of Us. Like, it didn't really tell
no,
a
but it's the kind of fundamental, yes. It's the core essence. The Ellie things, like her having a kind of line in the sand, but then having to push that line every combat. She needs to become more and more and more violent, more and bigger statements and stuff. Whereas in this, it's the kind of the same thing. Whereas he has a line in the sand, but his line has to move for him to achieve the goal, which is the universal goal of freeing his people and getting his uncle back. But it's the bits of him that he loses along the way due to this.
Yep.
Do you know, it's a really interesting. I'm looking way too deep in it, and before we go any further, it's so much better than what I'm doing with it.
It's amazing looking, this game.
See that bit, I love, sum this up. You ride your horse and you can ride him, and when you've been riding for a time you can go through tall grass, and he actually puts his hand out and runs his hand along the tall grass. That is why this game is amazing.
Yep.
Because that's such a small detail and no one really cares about it, but it's such a lovely, it's like, it's so lovely. It's like, wow. It's just an idle animation, but you're like, that's cool.
Yeah, there's little things. I don't know if you know aware of this little detail. Apparently, the more you, because you can go through the game and not be that stealthy. You can go through, and like we said, you can just challenge the forts, and you can
be on.
You're actually capable of actually having the tools to an ability to take out on like 8-10 guys at once if you're quick enough and if you use the tools that you've got. But the more you stealth, the stormier the weather gets. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I've never noticed that.
Because I believe, I'm not super far into the game, but I believe the game naturally gets stormier as it goes on. And historically speaking, that was fundamental in Japan repelling the Mongolian army. This huge storm came through. But thematically, they built that into the game as his emotional turmoil of having to be the ghost increases, so does the turmoil of the atmosphere and weather. So the more stealthy and more ghost moves, attack and abilities you use, the quicker the stormy weather builds up.
That is the ultimate Paragon system. Fuck this good and evil stuff. It's going to piss a rain. Why? Because I stealth killed 20 guys.
But it's just cool that, like, that as you say, the internal turmoil and storm that and of his emotions dealing with his Bushido, his way of the warrior, and his honor, but having the need to actually defeat this enemy, that inner turmoil is represented visually, and that's pretty cool. Like, as I say, the finer details in this game are phenomenal. That I don't know if you know, Brian, you can go up to bodies on the ground, like fallen peasants or warriors have been killed in this battle against the Mongolian invasion, and you can bow by flicking down on the touchpad, and he will give condolences or sign of respect, and it depends on the type of corpse what he says. It's pretty cool.
It's a flick of the sword, but it's after you've ran it through 8 guys, he just does that flick to get the residue off the sword. You're like, that's cool shit. That's so cool.
Well, yeah, Brian, you mentioned, you knew about this, that there's a button to, it's swiping right on the touchpad, is to draw or put your sword away. And the animation's depending on the scenario as well. Which is another cool touch, as Stuart said. He'll clean his sword off. It's either he'll wipe it on his sleeve, or he'll flick it and flick the blood off before he puts his sword away. If it's clean, he just puts it away.
And it's the fact as well, is really nice, is like
the detail.
It's like he gets covered in it. as well. So like you'll come out in your nice kimono and look cool and be like, hey, I'm cool. Get into a battle and it's like, my God, I've been at war, and it's all covered in that and like muck and stuff. Just
it's Bloodborne level of blood splatter, if not better.
That's a lot of blood.
And then you go into photo mode, but and you freeze it at the point of impact, and you just have an articulate spray of blood spewing out a guy, and then just to put the icing on the cake, you put the leaves falling, the leaves gently fall as the blood splatters, and you look at it and you go, God damn, this looks so much better than Halo Infinite.
It is.
But the photo mode's amazing. The music's amazing as well. I really credit where credit's due. The music and its soundtrack is top notch. Soundtrack transports you to Japan and then some. And it knows what it's doing, the soundtrack. It kind of builds up for the intense moments in that. I really like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a name for that kind of soundtrack. I can't remember what it's called. But it's not dynamic, is it? Maybe. But I really like that in games when you're kind of when you're going riding, it's just nice and gentle, but then you get into a battle and it's like the drums start.
So what you're saying is your favourite video game is Ape Out.
Yep.
Yeah. Rip apart guys, throwing guys at buildings. And even that looks better.
Halo Infinity.
In Halo Infinity, and that's a black and white top down monkey scroller.
Yeah.
So, Charles, the ultimate question, and as I've said, my review comes out to date this podcast on Sunday. I've said that it's the perfect way to round off what has been a phenomenal generation for Sony, and I think it's a fitting swan song to what they've encapsulated with, as we've mentioned when we're talking about Halo, is the list's long and very distinguished, and I think that knowing what we know now to what we knew then, I feel happier that Ghost of Tsushima came out after Last of Us, because I think Sony knew Last of Us would be a divisive title.
Yep.
And I definitely think that it's a strong start for what will be a new IP. And I think as a PlayStation owner, you can sleep easy at night knowing that Sony know what they're doing now. Big time. And I think the next generation's just going to get a lot better with what we've seen this gen. And we've already seen that Horizon's coming again, Spider-Man's coming again, and I'll be shocked if this doesn't get a sequel.
Yeah, obviously I don't know how this ends, so I don't know how the sequel could even potentially work, but I'd be more than happy to play another samurai game like this.
It's going to happen. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, everyone, all of them have set themselves up as, not all of them, but a lot of them have set themselves up as, for sequels, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like Days Gone and all that, you know what I mean? Everyone's prized for that. And
But you're right. The Sony have done well with their exclusives this generation.
Especially because they're single player focused. Nobody plays single player games. Yeah. Somebody did tell Sony that, and they didn't care. They even went as far as stripping multiplayer out of the last years.
Yep. Oh, sorry.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that tells me something.
Yeah, that's
maybe they're a bit too safe. They're a bit too samey, maybe. We could argue, right? We're drawing straws here. There's a kind of Ubisoft-ish formula at work.
Yeah.
But I think the framework's there, and the framework is universal, but I think the execution and delivery is very much different depending upon which title you play.
I agree.
If you know what I mean.
I agree. It feels organic. Like, I'm getting a real Breath of the Wild open world feel when I play this. Yes, it has a little, it's got more icons on the map, but it's more like I want to explore because it looks good. And everything is so distinct. Yeah. And
well, that's
that you can travel.
That was the key.
Go.
Sorry, I was going to say that's the key, is if I was to sum up all of these, including this, it's cinematic. It's all cinematic feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean. Yep. And I think Ghost captures that. Fuck. Ghost is basically a love letter to cinema, right? It's that well done. And I think it's like the pinnacle of what this cinematic like they said there was only so many crossovers. This is one of the most ambitious crossovers in cinematic history. Well, I think this is probably one of the most cinematic games in the, ever. I'd go as far as saying like Sony have nailed that feel it, you know. And I think this is the pinnacle of where they were going, you know.
Don't tell Kojima that, because he's desperate to make his video games into a movie. But
well, see, that's the thing. I include Death Stranded in this, in the class of PS4. And I know you could argue it's not really a first... Well,
it kind of is.
Aye.
It kind of is.
It is. It is. Do you know what I mean? It starts with Horizon. No. Aye. Horizon came out before God of War, didn't it?
Yep.
So, like, it starts with Horizon and it ends with this, but you've got, like, everything in between. And I just think it's...
Well, what's the average? It must be an average of at least 9 of every game. And it hasn't been a year that I haven't had one of these Sony exclusives on my top of the Game of the Year list.
Well, that's true as well.
Bloodborne would be the first Sony exclusive.
I felt so passionate about Ghost, I gave it the old 5 stars. Because I think it needs to be played. It demands to be played. And I went back and I had a look. And I think everyone's scored 5 in the class apart from Days Gone, which got 4.5, just because it was... See, you're picking straws, man, aren't you? It's like, good game, just no great game.
Yeah.
When you compare it to its mates.
It's the ugly stepsister of the exclusives, Days Gone.
But then it was the studio's first game. Exactly. You know what I mean? You got to give the guys a bit of slack and stuff, you know? And
But it, that's what I was saying about the exploring of this world. Like, I want to explore because... It's so iconic. Like, I can navigate. I did a side mission to get a legendary bow just recently, and they give you little paintings to show you where they are. And yes, you can go into the map and see where it is, but I looked at the picture, saw landmarks that I recognized from exploring the game, and I was able to get to where roughly where I needed to be by just looking at like a 2D painting that the game had. And knowing what those landmarks were, and I roughly found where I needed to go, because everything is iconic. Whereas some of these other open world games, they're all painted with brown. Everything's like sandy colored, or they don't feel fun to explore because all the landmarks look the same. It's the Paris landscape, and yes, they've done a phenomenal job of remaking Paris in Assassin's Creed, but it's all just stone colored, and whereas this is they've just done well to make things like the way they've used flowers to help you find landmarks, the way they've used the golden forest as like a center point to this island. It's just really clever that you have a frame of reference visually around you, so you know what where you are and whereabouts you are on this island. It's just fun to play.
Yeah, I think it's the thought. The apex moment, in that this game's implemented a lot of cool ideas, and I think we'll start to see other games stealing the ideas. So, like, Apex introduced pinging. New pinging's second nature now in Battle Royales.
Yep.
And Trios is second nature in Battle Royales, or at least, like, Call of Duty and stuff, you know what I mean? So I definitely think it's... Next gen, we'll see quite a lot of ghost... nods and winks and elements appearing in titles. And to be fair, there's enough there to make an actual, like, all the games could learn from each other.
Well,
and you'd still, like...
To be fair, Ghost has learnt from other games. They've taken elements from other games and implemented it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's doing it well and not just doing it forced. And I think that's what they've done. They've taken what they want and been very clever in what they've edited.
Yeah. Go buy it. It's good.
Oh, it's very good. And as you're saying, cinematic, each mission, the way it starts, like, again, I'm a big fan of Japanese samurai films. I'm a big fan of Japanese culture. I'm a big fan of their history and whatnot.
I hear you like eating prawns on school trips.
Exactly. So... and so it speaks to me. So I understand it may not speak to other people the same way as it speaks to me. But just the way each mission starts, like the way it pops up with a kanji and the title of the mission, And it's just, it feels like this could be a really cool episode, like episodic TV series. Just like,
but then when you finish the mission,
Wolf and Cub,
when it blows away,
yeah, yeah,
in the wind, that's brilliant. So it's you're right. It's nice touches. It draws a line through the mission in English, and then the wind blows away the Japanese scripture, and you're like, that's nice.
Yeah, and then there's these cute moments with your horse. Like it gives character to our character. Like he and this horse is your friend. Like Brian, like at the end of each mission, like the horse will like do something silly. Like, he'll, like, nudge you in the back of your head while, like, you're standing there all staunch, like a badass samurai covered in your blood.
Play the piano.
And, like, and he doesn't go that far. But the horse will, like, nudge you, like, forward, and you look and you stumble forward. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? And it's these cute moments with the horse. It just kind of gives the world that it gives life to this character, which I find fun. I don't know if you know. I haven't actually done it myself. I've seen a video of it where if you leave the game idle, your character will you'll have a nap lying on your horse. The horse will like lie down, and then your character will have a nap leaning up again. Nice. You have like a little nap with your horse.
Nice. It's definitely the horse. The horse feels like the day's gone motorbike, and it's an odd thingy, but it's true because you get to pick for three horses at the beginning. Each one has a special name. I took the white horse because, come on, it's a white horse.
Well, yeah, I said this last week. I went white horse because of Shadowfax from Lord of the Rings. And I called it Kage after Shadow because it's halfway there.
Is the horses no preset names?
There's three preset names, but I went...
Oh, could you change? I just took I think it's named The Wind or something.
There was three options. There's three horses and then three
Spirit
options.
Spirit of the Sky? I can't remember. Something to do with the sky or wind.
Yeah, there was one like that. So I chose...
Trumper.
I chose the white horse... And then one of the options for the name, there's three options for the name, and I went with Kage, which means shadow,
because
it just fits thematically, and it's almost Shadowfax.
You're just an edgy guy who likes having a white horse called Shadow, because, hey, it's not really a shadow, it's a white horse.
Yep.
Exactly.
Shadowfax.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I'm not that way inclined. One thing for sure, but see the CGI in Lord of the Rings all the years ago? Better than Hale and Finney.
Yep.
But yeah, no, Ghost of Kojima is an amazing spaceship, and Ghost of Tojima is an amazing...
Tsushima. Video. Come on, man.
Tsushima.
Tsushima. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I can't... Brian, have you got any questions? Like, I can't talk. I'm sure I had things I wanted to say, and I forgot them, and I'll probably remember afterwards, but it's just good.
I've got one thing, right? So we've had Sony's big offerings, right? I know the answer, and I know my answer. What is going to be the top of your game of the year? Because let's be honest, ain't much coming this year, I don't imagine. So it's either going to be The Last of Us 2 or this, I think, that'll take Game of the Year. Unless that big neon shadow comes out hiding, we'll see. But I think it's going to be a straight-out battle for Game of the Year between the two of them.
I struggle to see The Last of Us getting in there. There's just been too much... it's too divisive.
Controversial. Yeah.
And as I say, it's...
But then, is it a masterpiece because of that? Is it seen as the conflict? It's went beyond its remit. It's went beyond the game. It's become part of the zeitgeist.
I don't know. I don't hear people talking about it, to be honest. I just don't see people talking about it.
I still get people shitting, moaning about it and stuff and that. But it doesn't quite have the sting as what Ghost has.
No.
But then Ghost's only, what, 2 weeks old, 3 weeks
That's
old?
That's true.
At the time of recording.
For me, it's still... Final Fantasy VII's definitely there, though.
Well, there you go. You just shot over my question, so... Nah.
That's what we're here for, Stuart.
Go play Ghost. Yeah, that's the safe bet there, trust me. You'll enjoy Ghost more than you will Last of Us 2.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's very good. But yeah, so I don't know, Fantasy VII and Ghost. I honestly can't remember what else I played this year. I'm sure there's been others, but I can't think of anything.
Would you mind if it was last year, was it though?
I think it was.
Yeah. Mario's this year, Paper Mario, should I say.
Yeah, I need to get on.
In brackets.
Yeah.
Why, Nintendo had a Mini as well, didn't they? Forgetting about that.
Oh, which, yeah, Nintendo did have a Mini.
Showed, what is it, Tenchi Muyo, Sensei, Shigami 5!
Yeah, Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Nocturne getting a remastered HD. Looks pretty cool.
I don't know, I've never played any of these series.
Cadence of Hyrule DLC looked cool.
That's surprising, they're breathing life into that so late.
Yeah,
after
I mean,
that
game is great, so that's exciting to see that they're supporting it.
Nice.
Smart.
Yeah, and there was one more thing that I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was only 10 minutes long as well, which I think's really weird for a conference.
What?
So, by the way, guys, it's a big conference today. Woo woo! And it's like, yeah, it's 10 minutes and it's done.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I mean, they did say it was a mini, so. Mm.
The days at expos are over, people.
We're not here.
Well, I think your traditional expos, like your E3s and stuff. But then I don't know.
We'll see next year. Like.
I don't like the whole thing. This digital games of summer's lasted for like April right through to August.
Yeah,
that's just too long. Too long.
I don't know. To me, like we were talking about earlier, like I'm just not into the hype cycle anymore. So it just doesn't matter to me.
One
like,
way.
Show me the video game when I can play it.
Yep. And we can be excited for that week.
Charles, do you have anything else video game-wise to talk about?
I just want to keep talking about Ghost of Tsushima, but I really shouldn't because it's getting boring because I'm repeating myself. What have you been playing, Brian?
So I said last episode that I was going to play some Paper Mario. I also did not have time to do that. I've basically just doing my dailies in Destiny and working too much, and that's about it.
So you did have time.
Yeah, Destiny. It's a video game.
It is.
I didn't have time to, like, get into something, you know, like...
It takes a different level of energy.
Destiny, I can turn my brain off and play that game for half an hour and be done,
yep.
Right?
No, I get that.
Whereas if I was going to start up Mario, I would have to, like, actually pay attention and do things.
The few minutes I've played of it, that's my biggest criticism with all Nintendo games. They're way too wordy and getting and, like, way too, like, hold your hand. That's the one reason I haven't really got into Pokemon Sword. 3 hours in, it's still trying to teach me how to play the game. It's like, I know.
Oh boy, and let me tell you, as much as I love that game, like, that is throughout the entire game, it does that.
And that's my biggest complaint with all Nintendo games, and that's what I did see with a little bit of Paper Mario helping my daughter get into it, was yeah, I wish they would just have, I'm a grown-up and I know how to play games mode. They just hit that button. It'd be great.
Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up.
Cool.
I think so. Been a mixed bag of hatred, bitterness, and samurai.
This podcast looks better than Halo Infinite.
Yes, you stole my thunder.
Is that our title? Looks better than Halo Infinite?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Just, and it's literally just going to be a picture of me in my chair.
No, what it needs to be, Stuart, is a picture of you making the face of that brute.
Oh, fuck. yeah, endlessly looking out my living room window, just... I can do that.
Okay, perfect. Stuart, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me under FuryAC3 on Twitter and all over the world. If you would like to read my Ghost of Tsushima manual, it's next to my bunk, but if you'd like to read my Ghost of Tsushima review, it'll be on the Codec Moments website under Scorch Corner from this Sunday, which means it'll be live now, and there'll be a few other bits and bobs. It'll be next to a review of Night Call, which I'm pretty much covered here, Subliminal, which I covered here, and the cheeky little MMO, multiplayer shooter that is Rocket Arena, not to be mistaken by Rocket League, and why it should be a free-to-play and not a £25 purchase. Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to put what may I will put the Ghost of Tsushima review in the show notes if you send me a link.
Yeah, I can send you a link. Yeah.
Very good.
Charles, what about you?
It's Vader Van Odin. And in real life, me and the kids will be at, if you're in Wellington, New Zealand, come check out.
A meet and greet? Hold on.
I don't think we have anyone listening from here.
You can actually get to meet and greet.
Yeah, we've got our expo next week, Armageddon. And we're going on, we're going cosplay.
You can meet the Vader of Odin.
Are you going to be throwing out business cards and stickers and plushies and bumper stickers that say, my car looks better than Halo Infinity?
little plushy Ghost of Kojimas.
Little ships. Got to work on air that. Fresheners.
No, we're not. We're just going, we're entering the cosplay competition, so...
dressed as the spaceship, as the crew.
We do need to get a space.
That's what you should do. We should all just go to a con, right, and dress up like we're actually for Galaxy Quest. And we'll be like, hey guys, we're in spaceships, we're in suits and stuff. Like, what are you dressed up as? We're the crew of the Ghost of Kojima.
By Kojima's hammer, what a savings.
We do need to get a ship designed for us.
Anybody out there who wants to cosplay us, feel free.
Yep.
You'll get bonus points. And you know what points make?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
You've just triggered the killing spree. If you say it five times in an hour, the killing spree begins.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, anyway, you can find me on Twitter at Wade Brian R. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Gamers Galaxy Pod. I don't remember what our website is. Is it gamersguidetothegalaxy.net.com?
Space.
Space.
Because it's funny.
That space. gamersguidetothegalaxy.space. What a good URL.
How could you forget it's in space? How dare you sully this fine ship with a .com?
And with all that so being said, I think there's just one final thing to say.
Don't forget your gamepad.
Yeah, don't forget to render all your models on your pre-release footage for all your video games.
Catches.
Bye-bye.
Stopping.